So we have been working in these past few weeks, been working on the Gospel of Luke, and we will continue to work on this. And we've been hearing the activity that Jesus has had and how he has transformed lives for the kingdom. And last week we heard the importance of an attitude towards looking up rather than looking down, right? Where with the focus, the things that are of heaven and the things that are eternal, rather than the things that really try to get our attention in the world. And today we're going to focus on posture. Yeah? We're going to focus on posture because I heard from my doctor that posture, good posture, is good practice for our health. Imagine that. Now, I don't know about you, but since I was a little kid, my mom kept saying, stand straight. Stand up straight. Yeah, Mom. Right? Yeah, Mom, I'm tired. Stand up straight. And I never thought much of it. But this last week, the doctor said, stand straight. Why? Well, when you stand straight, you can breathe better. Right? And even that posture of opening up your cavity for your lungs and everything accommodates things inside in a way that provides us with the oxygen that we need. So, as we can tell, that good posture is good practice for good health. We look at Luke. And in this section, we are presented with Jesus teaching in different neighborhoods. And here is he is in a neighborhood in Galilee. And he's teaching during a session of a Sabbath. And a woman comes in who is described as one who's been crippled. And it says that she's described as one with a spirit, a crippling spirit. And this is manifested in her bending over. Imagine that. Here we are presented with a situation that goes against all logic for the modern human being, especially us Westerners. You see, we're not without questions when hearing this description from Luke. We know that Luke is very particular about minorities, about those who have been marginalized. But here, we go even beyond that social paradigm, that social context, and we delve into a spiritual issue. A spiritual issue of well-being. Now, in our context, in our modern day, we don't think about illness as a spiritual condition. Mostly, we think about illness as a physical ailment. But we're going to be challenged by what Luke tells us. So is illness then a spiritual or a physical ailment? Ha, good question. Now, Scripture tells us that at the time that there was a notion that physical well-being had a spiritual component. But we also know that there is a higher purpose for physical conditions. I remember, I don't know if you recall, when Jesus is facing another person who is crippled, and he asked the disciples, so who sinned so that he would be in this condition? Was it his sin or was it the sin of his ancestors? Remember that? And guess what the answer for the disciples was?
I don't know.
But even the question implicates what is in their minds. And sometimes that happens with us. Maybe we see somebody that is suffering from one condition or another, and we might feel sorry for them, thinking, gosh, they must have done something really bad to be in this condition. So he asked the disciples, and they cannot tell him, they can't answer. And Jesus says, it's none of the above. It's not him, it's not the sins. There is a higher purpose for this man to be in this condition, and it is so that the kingdom of God may be glorified. Now, if you are the receiver of one of these conditions, that may be all good. But when we are the ones suffering from it, right, it may not be very comfortable. You all know that I have a handicapped child, right? And many times in my life I've thought about Isabel and how is it that she is existing in our midst, and why is it that she has this condition and has to go through what she goes through. It's always been a question in my mind. So was it something that I did? Was it something? It must have been something that Judith did, of course. So, I mean, it is a reality. It's not that we're speaking about things that are out there. It is something that hits us, and we face these things in our lives. But again, I go to the purpose that Jesus presents to his disciples. It is not that, it is not the other. It is so that the kingdom of God may be glorified. So we can then determine that the situation with this woman, it is not an indictment of the modern views of health. It is not saying that doctors are not needed anymore. It is not saying that all matters are going to be cured with a prayer or with putting our hands on people. It is not necessarily a prescriptive demonstration that Jesus is saying or is doing here. So it's not putting down the way that we look at health today, but it is raising the question about what kind of a situation are we faced when we have physical ailments. There is a reality that sometimes we overlook. The matter of spiritual warfare. It is real. And the way that Jesus describes what happens with this woman is really telling. He doesn't play around with, oh, it may have been this or it may have been that. He simply notices the woman and notices that she's had an ailment that has a spiritual component. The devil has chained her for 18 years. So there he comes. And he tells the woman, you are now free. You are now free from that ailment. Now, what does that mean? For me, it means that Jesus' power is above both issues of health, whether it's the physical or the spiritual. You follow me? Are you here? You see, it says to me that Jesus has power above any spiritual condition that we may be experiencing, and even above that, that he has power over the physical. Whether it's sin or whether it's evil in our life, Jesus can do something about it. Now this is done and it's accomplished. The way that we see this healing is happening in a different context. There's a conflict. And this is the second issue that is at hand when we hear Luke. Not only is there a different views of minorities and the marginalized in Luke's writing, but there's also a different view of religious practice. You see, when religious leaders come to the fore and claim foul concerning the healing of this woman, they say is because it happened on the Sabbath. I want to ask you a question. If some of us came to church and were freed from an ailment or a condition, would you be complaining if it was because it wasn't Sunday?
No.
Anyone?
No.
But here we find the leaders of the church complaining. He thinks that the healing should not have happened on Sabbath. There's six other days in the week for that to happen. And guess what? Jesus fires back as Donald Trump would. Sorry for the analogy. I just wanted to see if you were there. You see, he was not going to let it fly right by him. He's not going to let that stand. Instead, Jesus reprimands the leader for his hypocrisy. Let's bring this home. You see, we struggle with both these issues. We struggle with the role of illness in our lives and the role of suffering. Nobody wants to suffer, right? Nobody likes it. I don't like it. But it's real. It's a fact. We struggle with what it means to fall into a condition. And we ask questions. Whether God is on my side or not. If God is allowing this to happen in my life for a reason or a purpose, or if it's just bad luck. And we struggle. And I mean, there's also a hardline attitude. When we may be thinking about these things, whether it is our spiritual condition or our physical one. And we also struggle with matters of religious practice, right? We struggle with the issue of the order of service or how the pastor is dressed.
Amen.
Right. I know it was in your minds. You see, we struggle with what is right. What ought we be doing? How ought we be practicing our faith? And whether we think that karma rules, right? And basically that's what the issue with Jesus and his disciples and this man was about. Whether there is a consequences to the things that we do. And how they manifest in our physical realm. Whether it's that the issues of our well-being being ruled by karma or the meaning of the illness and physical ailments, whether this is spiritual matters or basically physical weaknesses in our body, but whether it's one or the other, or whether we're considering practice of religious expression, one thing still stands. We may be missing the point. It may be that we miss the point because we're not looking at God's purposes in all of our circumstances of adversity. We may not be looking at God's will in our religious expression. We may be thinking that it's one thing or the other. It might not be either. If we were focused on God's purposes, how would we react when we are experiencing adversity? Instead of praying, God, take this away from me, maybe we would be praying, God, help me see what you're trying to teach me. You follow? Instead of saying, oh, I wish I didn't have this anymore, maybe we would be praying to say, God, maybe there is a reason for me to be experiencing this struggle, this thing that is so bad in my body. Same thing with religious practice. If we decided that we were going to take all these pews out, and do some flexible sitting in this place, what would we say? Now, will we have the attitude and say, no, there's no way we could do that? Or we'll be thinking, Lord, is there a higher purpose for this? What are you trying to tell us? What is it that you're trying to accomplish in and through our lives so that your kingdom will be glorified? I think that if we think about these things, we may be putting ourselves in that place, whether you're saying, oh, well, maybe a traditional service is better than a service that is even, you know, more flexible, or where there's no liturgy, or the rule is different and there's little structure and more spirit-led. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can even consider when we are thinking about this religious leader. Maybe, if we take our time and think about it, maybe we will see that we may be missing the point, because it's all about God. It's not necessarily about the things that I want. It may not be necessarily the things that I would like to do. It may be about what God wants us to do. It may be about what God is ultimately trying to accomplish through us. And ultimately, maybe there's a noticeable attitude here that maybe is even more significant here. You see, the moment that this woman gets healed, she does something that you and I have been talking about now. She stood up straight and next step was to
praise God.
Maybe she was listening to my doctor. But you see, it's not a matter, it's just, oh, she got healed. Right? We celebrate that. But what happened within her, what happened inside of her, is the one thing that calls my attention. It's not that she ran out and started to shout and rejoice that she was healed. The first thing that came out of his mouth was a praise for God. So you see, maybe it's not just about the recovery of wellness, but a matter of assigning the glory to the right power. Maybe it's not just the recognition of who it is that we're worshiping, than the focus on ourselves or whether we're in the right or in the not right about when we're doing it. Maybe it is a matter of recognizing who we are engaging with in our spiritual development. Perhaps Luke is trying to instill something in us, a sense of who this Jesus that he heard about from eyewitnesses really is. Is one that is not impressed by our feeble attempts to be awesome in worship, but he'd rather have us worship the awesome. Did you get that? Did you get that? I worked on that a lot. See, because this is what really happens. We're so focused on ourselves that we put all of our coins, all of our treasure, all of our wealth in our own well-being. And we're not recognizing who this awesome, indescribable, as we were singing, God is. See, this woman suffered for an ailment 18 years. I think that she lived in the style of Job, right? Being attacked by an evil force, and apparently for no doing of her own. It wasn't even her fault. Who knows? But Jesus comes into the scene and says, enough. And the way that she responds, standing straight and in worship, should be telling for us. Perhaps it is for us to learn about what our existence can entail, what our experience can do. Suffering from spiritual battles, which when met with the power of God can be transformed into worship. Whatever style, even standing straight. I would like for you to stand up, if you can. And stand up and think and consider your own situation. Stand up and think and consider what's happening in your own life. And maybe there is a physical ailment. Maybe there is some difficult experience that you're going through. Maybe there is something in your life that you are trying to evaluate and you get to that point of judging. I don't know. But as you stand straight, and maybe as we pray, you may be asking God, what are your purposes? Help me to see. Let us pray. God, here we stand. Here we are standing, Lord, sometimes in the middle of difficulties, sometimes on the other side of that. Sometimes we're evaluating matters on how we should be faithful to you, and what those implications might be for our lives. But mostly, Father, I know that when we struggle, when we suffer, there is pain. There are questions in our minds. And God, we want to ask today that with your wonderful wisdom and power, you may put those things in perspective for us. Help us to see your purposes. Help us to see your hand at work in us. Help us to know, to learn how to stand straight and worship you in the midst of all the trouble, so that your name may be lifted and we may be able to receive the power of your peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen.